Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Ruth Bat Sara, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harav Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Se Ben Chava, Haramir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. This is going to be a program on Judaism. Judaism, by the way, in Hebrew is Yahadut. The word for Jew in Hebrew is Yehudi, and the word for Judaism is Yahadut. Maybe we'll have little Hebrew lessons every now and then on these programs as well. Doesn't hurt. We're going to speak about the five worlds that encompass the reality of what God has created. There are five worlds according to the views of many of the Torah sages, many of the Talmudic sages and Torah sages. And so we're going to describe those five worlds as they describe them. And when I say five worlds, again, I mean from this world to what happens in the future and what exactly is the destiny of humanity and the destiny of everything that we know in creation. Where are we going? Why did God create the world and where are we going? The first world is known as Ha'olam Hazeh, which means this world. In other words, this is the physical world that we know and the world that we're familiar with. That's called Ha'olam Hazeh. The second world is called Olam HaNeshamot. Olam HaNeshamot means the world of souls. Neshamot means souls in Hebrew. And Olam, by the way, means world. Olam HaNeshamot is the place where people go when they pass away, when they die. And they can go to Gan Eden. Gan Eden is the Garden of Eden. It's another way of saying Garden of Eden or Paradise. They can go to Gan Eden, or they can go to Gehenom. Gehenom is hell. And then there's even something called Kaf HaKela, which is sort of a place where there's just where they don't even know where they are. They're just wandering and in turmoil. That's one of the punishments for the very wicked. And there are many very wicked people, by the way. It's not a small little group of wicked people. There are many, many wicked people in the world. But Olam HaNeshamot is the place where we go, where we're judged after we pass away. We face Yom Hadin, we face a day of judgment before Hashem, before God. It's not the last day of judgment we're going to face. There's another one at the end of time as well. But you face a day of judgment after you've passed away, after you've died. And what exactly do people do in Olam HaNeshamot? If you're in Gan Eden, of course, then you're in a very good place, a place where you have peace of mind and happiness, and you're with other good people. And we don't know exactly what the pleasures are and how, why there's such joy and there's such happiness in that world. We don't know exactly, again, because if I try to describe that for you, it would be like me trying to describe colors to someone who was born blind. If someone was born blind, I can't explain to them successfully what's the difference between red and green and blue and orange and purple or black and white. I can't describe successfully what the differences are between these colors because they've never seen anything if they were born completely blind, if they were born totally blind. And no matter how hard you try, you can't really succeed. And Harambam, Maimonides, tells us that anyone who tries to describe how wonderful it is in the next world and the wonderful things you have in the next world is limiting how good it is. It's going to be greater than whatever you try to describe because the things you're describing are based upon what we know in this world. What we know in this world is a physical world. And of course we have a spiritual dimension to us. We feel love, which is spiritual. We feel hatred. We feel jealousy. We feel all types of desires, impatience. All types of desire, ambition. There are all types of desires that people have in this world that are part of the Yetzarim. Yetzarim are the spiritual impulses that drive people. You have Yetzer Hara, Yetzer HaTov. Yetzer Hara is the bad impulse, and Yetzer HaTov is the good impulse, which are at war with each other in everybody's soul. But even though we have a spiritual dimension to us, we're trapped within our physical bodies and within a physical world. We're trapped in a world where there's time, where there's the dimension of time, where there's the dimension of space. In other words, we're limited by space and time in terms of what we can see. And so, if we were in a world that was timeless, and where space was not an obstacle, if we were in a world without physical obstacles, it's something that we can't even conceive of successfully. But there is a happiness in that world that is beyond anything we can imagine in this world. If you're in Gan Eden, if you're in the good place, if you're in the bad place, one of the bad places, because there are at least seven levels of hell, and then you have Kaf HaKela, which is the intermediate place where your soul is just twisted and turning and doesn't even know where it is and is confused and can't achieve and can't get anywhere. If you're in one of those punishment places, or one of those places, sometimes people are put there to cleanse their soul so that they can go to Gan Eden. Some people are destined to go to Gan Eden, but first they have to cleanse their souls because they had a lot of sin in this world that was never accounted for. So they have a certain amount of time that they have to suffer and have their souls cleansed first. Others are never going to make it to the good place. And so, understanding exactly what it's like for us to describe it, we would be like me trying to describe different colors to a blind person. It's almost impossible to understand, and I don't understand it. How can I describe it to you? I don't understand it. And even the great Torah sages and Talmudic sages didn't understand it because they were never there. They understood it better than us, or better than myself. I'm just a simple Jew. They understand it better than I would understand it. But they still could not comprehend the magnificence of living in an all-spiritual world. What that real magnificence is like. They can't really comprehend that. But you should know that God is a God of justice and righteousness, and He's a God of mercy and kindness and compassion. There has to be truth and justice and righteousness, and there has to be mercy and kindness and compassion. Both of those characteristics, or all of those characteristics, those different categories, apply to what happens to somebody in the next world. And so, and a lot, of course, is riding on what happens in the next world, because that tells us where our future destiny is. So that's the second world. That's called Olam HaNeshamot. We have HaOlam HaZeh, which is the first world. Olam HaNeshamot, the world of souls, where people go when they die, right now, where they go when they die. That's the second world. There's a third world called Yemot HaMashiach, which we don't have yet. Yemot HaMashiach means the days of the Messiah, when the Messiah comes. Mashiach is Messiah in Hebrew. And those will be the days of eternal life. The good people who are worthy will no longer die. They'll have Chaye Netzach, which means eternal life. The good people. And they will live in their physical bodies in this world for 1,000 years like that. But they won't have illness, they won't have death. They won't have the other tragic things that people have in this world toward the end of this world. And again, that's for 1,000 years. We'll explain to you why it's just for 1,000 years. Then you have, that's the third world, Yemot HaMashiach. The fourth world is called Techiyat HaMetim, which means resurrection of the dead. Now, let's hold on to our brains here for a second so we can comprehend this. This is not for our affirmative action viewers because they can't understand numbers and complex subjects. This is for, you know, for Jews and righteous Gentiles to understand, because again, the affirmative action people, they, you know, this is too deep for them. But within the 1,000 years of Yemot HaMashiach, within that 1,000-year period, will be a second, another world will be created, and it's the fourth world, which is called Techiyat HaMetim, Resurrection of the Dead. In other words, the people that are already alive will live on for another 1,000 years in their bodies, in this world. And then 40 years into that 1,000 years, in other words, the same 1,000-year period of Yemot HaMashiach, of the days of the Messiah, of the third world, 40 years into that 1,000-year period will come Techiyat HaMetim, Resurrection of the Dead. 40 years after the Messiah is revealed and the Messianic era starts and people have eternal life, 40 years after that, there will be resurrection of the dead. Dead people, people who died, will come alive again in their physical bodies. And they will live together with the people who are already in the world for Yemot HaMashiach for the remaining 960 years. Why 960 years? Because 1,000 years, remember, Yemot HaMashiach is 1,000 years, days of the Messiah is 1,000 years. And then 40 years into that, we have Techiyat HaMetim, so we have 1,000 minus 40, we have 960 years left. And in the remaining 960 years, now people who have risen up from the grave and who are now in their physical bodies again will live together with those who are already in the world and already have eternal life for the past 40 years. So that's the fourth category, Techiyat HaMetim. Now, question is, when somebody rises up from the grave, if they were blind, God forbid, will they still be blind? If they were deaf, will they still be deaf? If they didn't have their teeth, okay, or if they were missing, God forbid, a leg or a hand, or were crippled, what happens? What happens then? Will they still have those physical disabilities, and will they still have those physical limitations? And the answer is, briefly, yes, they will. In other words, if someone who was elderly went toothless into the next world, didn't have any teeth, or was blind, or had some other physical characteristic that really limits them dramatically, couldn't walk, or had a leg missing or a hand missing, whatever, God forbid. If someone was like that, yes, at first they will come back exactly as they were. As old as they were, as sick as they, not, they won't have the physical sickness anymore, but they will look the way they looked when they died, when their period of death, they will look that way again, toothless, without hand, without feet, without whatever they had, blind or deaf or whatever the characteristic was where they had something limiting them. They will be like that for about it. Now I've heard rabbis say for a half hour. I've heard maybe for a half hour, maybe for an hour, for a short period of time, they will continue to be like that. And then they're going to get teeth, or they're going to get their hand, or they're going to get foot, or if they're blind, they're going to suddenly see. In other words, they will not live out the 960 remaining years of Yemot HaMashiach with that disability. Just like, by the way, in Olam HaNeshamot, when someone passes away, when someone dies, if they were blind, and people who have had who have been clinically dead, there have been blind people who have been clinically dead, who were blind since birth, and all of a sudden, when they were clinically dead on the hospital bed, and people thought they were dead, they could see, for the first time they saw, and it was shocking to them, the seeing, because it wasn't what they anticipated, but they actually had sight. When they rose up out of their bodies, because people rise up out of their bodies when they die. When they rose up out of their bodies and were looking down at their body on the hospital bed, they had sight. For the first time, they could see the doctors, they could see colors, they could see lights. And to them, it was just shocking because they had never seen anything before. It was just so shocking. In fact, one woman who was blind who speaks about this, not a Jewish woman, but she had a near-death experience or was clinically dead. She said she wanted to be blind again because it was so frightening and horrifying. It was horrifying to her because she had never seen before. You know, you got to get used, because it's something they have to get used to. Of course, if they got used to it, they wouldn't think like that. They would want sight. But at first, it's just shocking and frightening. So that's what happens. And people who don't have teeth, or whatever, in the next world, they do have teeth, and they do have all the other things that may be missing. In the next world, they do have that. But that's also true in the physical, when they come into their physical bodies. We're talking about, that's in the world of souls. You don't have those disabilities anymore in the world of souls. Your body is complete. But in the physical world, when they rise from the grave, that's going to be in the physical world. Their soul is going to come back into their body just as we have now. We have a soul and we have a body. By the way, the real you is your soul. It's not your body. Your body is like clothing that you're wearing. The real you is your soul. If you take a dead person, I mean, are your eyes, for instance, your eyes are what sees? Is it because of your eyes that you can see? A dead person has eyes. Can a dead person see? 5 minutes before he dies, the dead person can see. Once he's dead, he still has the same eyes, but he can't see anymore. He still has the same ears, but he can't hear anymore. He still has hands, but he can't move them anymore. Because it's the soul. It's the soul that is within us that keeps us alive. We are not our bodies. Our bodies are just a tool, are a tool that is used in order to enable us to do good things in the world. Hopefully good things. Some people use their bodies for evil. Many people do. But our souls are really what control us, and the soul is the real you, is your soul, is your neshama, your soul, not your goof. Goof is body, soul is neshama. Now, again, so when somebody rises from the grave with Techiyat HaMetim, with the resurrection of the dead, again, let's use the simpler example of toothless, because many elderly people are toothless. Thank God, Baruch Hashem, that I still have my... I'm 64 years old, I still have my teeth, thank God. Thank God for that. Who knows how long that'll last. You know, when you get older, all types of things happen. But many elderly people, when they pass away, you know, are toothless. They have false teeth, or they're toothless. If they're toothless, that would be temporary. Only for like a half hour, an hour, something like that. Just so that, why will they be temporarily like that? So that people can recognize them. Because if they come up and all of a sudden they have a full mouth of teeth, and all of a sudden they're not blind, they're not crippled, they're not in, you know, they're walking around. If that happens, if they change, if their body changes, people may not recognize them. To make sure that they will be recognized when they first come out of the grave, to make sure that they are recognized, they will temporarily, for a short period of time, have all the disabilities that they had at first. And then that will be corrected in their body. They'll have a full body with all the functions that are needed to have a full body. And for the rest of the 960 years that are part of Yemot HaMashiach, the days of the Messiah. Now, we've given you four so far, four worlds. HaOlam HaZeh, this world. Yemot HaMashiach. Oh, I'm sorry. Olam HaNeshamot is the second one. That's the world of souls where people go when they pass away. Yemot HaMashiach, the days of the Messiah, which last for 1,000 years. Techiyat HaMetim, which is also part of that 1,000 years of Yemot HaMashiach, but 40 years into it. So it's the last 960 years where people who are dead rise up and live again. As in the vision of Yechezkel, of the prophet Ezekiel, where there's this vision of the dry bones come up out of the grave. Can dry bones live again? And they do come up and live again. So those are the first four worlds that we've gone over now. There's a fifth world called HaOlam Haba, the world to come. HaOlam Haba, that is the eternity. That's after the 1,000 years. After 1,000 years, and that's the eternity, which we don't really understand, but we're going to get an upgrade. A shidrug. Shidrug in Hebrew means an upgrade. We're going to get an upgrade. We don't know exactly what that means or what, but we're going to be upgraded to a new and higher level of existence when Ha'olam Haba, the world to come, becomes a reality at the end of the 1,000-year period of Yemot HaMashiach. Now, all of this, by the way, is based upon what the Torah scholars and the Torah sages have been able to discern from both Torah Shebe'al Peh, which is the oral Torah, and Torah Shebichtav, which is the written Torah. The written Torah are the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, as they're written, as they're presented to us. And then, and that's called the written Torah, and then the oral Torah is the oral tradition that was passed down from father to son, until it was finally put into written form when we were in danger of losing it because of the Romans outlawing Judaism. So the rabbi said, we have to actually put it into writing now. But the Torah sages and the Torah scholars, these geniuses, brilliant minds and great spiritual, tremendous spiritual power that they had, the ability to really understand and discern things. This is what some of them have gotten out of it, these five worlds that I've described for you. How exactly it will be, is this exactly what I described? Is that exactly how it will be? Probably not exactly. Because again, we don't know exactly until we go there. First of all, we can't even understand it. As Harambam, Maimonides tells us, we can't even comprehend concepts. Like this is above our pay grade to even understand what any of this means. But it probably is a general framework. This is probably a good general framework to start with, these understanding these five worlds. And you know, you can't have true, complete happiness in this world. Can we be happy in this world? There's a level of happiness you can attain in this world, yes. But can we attain true, complete happiness? No. Not true, complete happiness. Because in the end, you're going to die. And people you love, like my wonderful mother who passed away a month and a half ago, and I'm still mourning and still killing me. People you love and care for are going to pass away, and you're going to pass away, and it's going to come to an end. So anything with limitations means you can't be truly, completely happy. Why? Unlike the animal world, in the animal world, dogs can be happy, and cats can be happy, because they have limited ambitions and a limited way of looking at the world, and if they're eating and mating and have a nice warm place and so on, and and in case of dogs, if they have companionship, because dogs are pack animals. If you have a situation like that, an animal can be happy. An animal doesn't know. An animal doesn't think, well, I'm going to die eventually. An animal doesn't understand those concepts. An animal can be happy, but a human being can't be completely happy in a world of limitations. Because one of the characteristics of Hashem that God has given us, because God is unlimited, and one of the unlimited characteristics that He's given us is our unlimited desires and unlimited dreams and unlimited ambitions. And everyone desires happiness. Everyone desires pleasures. Everyone desires certain things, and people get pleasures from different things. I'll give you some crude examples. I'm saying crude examples because there are wonderful, idealistic people who get pleasure, for instance, from helping other people. But those are really the beautiful people, the people like my mother or like Rabbi Kahana. Those are the beautiful people in the world whose pleasure comes when they help others. When they help others, they get more pleasure helping others and making others happy than they would if they made themselves happy. And there are wonderful, idealistic people like that, beautiful people like that in the world. And they certainly have. That's a godly techuna, that's a godly characteristic. But there are other, let me give you more physical pleasures as examples that people will understand. For instance, there's certain people who love to eat. The most important thing for them in life is eating. They're addicted to eating. Addicted to it. Addicted to food. And unfortunately, some people are addicted to unhealthy food, which is very dangerous and very bad. But if someone's addicted to eating, in this world, you can't get real satisfaction out of that, because how much can you eat? You can only eat a certain amount, and then you're going to get full. And that's the end of it. And then when you're full, I don't care how much you love a certain type of food, you will not enjoy that food if you're really full. And after a while, you will not enjoy it anymore. So there's a limit there. Some people are addicted to alcohol. Okay, we see the limitations there, obviously. How much can you drink and what will it do to you? And obviously, and alcohol and drugs obviously are examples of very self-destructive behavior. So is smoking. But there are limitations in this world on what you can on what you can enjoy. Sex is another example. Sex is certainly a very important part of the world. God has given us this desire primarily so that we can reproduce and have love and a family and a real sex, the best sex, the happiest type of sex that someone can have if their mind is set right, is sex within the parameters of a family. A husband and a wife, having children and loving each other. That's sex that is actually sacred. Christianity hates all sex. Christianity, you know, considers all sex to be sinful. Not Judaism. In Judaism, sex within marriage, to create a family and have children and love your wife and build real love and partnership and friendship between husband and wife, and then children, and then have a family with children. That's a beautiful thing and a spiritual thing and a very sacred and holy thing in Judaism. And people are commanded to do it. But if somebody is a sex addict, because you have sexaholics too, if somebody is a sex addict, how much sex can they have? How much can they do until they're, you know, until they can't function anymore, until they just can't? And there are major limitations on what someone can do sexually. So that's another example. What else can I give you as an example? Money. If someone has, and many people are addicted to money, and they just want to have money in the bank, and they never even use it. It's even crazier than being materialistic, because they never even use the money. It never even serves any function for them. They just like knowing they have it in the bank, or they just like knowing they have a lot of money. Billionaires always want more billions. Jeff Bezos, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Shem Reshem Yirkav, that filthy anti-Semite, that low-life degenerate dog who's the owner of the Washington Nazi Post and anti-Semite pig that he is. But anyway, he's worth, I don't know, $100 billion with Amazon, and you know, he's worth all this money. He's never satisfied. He wants more and more and more. With $100 billion, he still wants more money. And these guys, if they have a billion, they want 2 billion. If they have 5 billion, they want 10 billion. If they have 3 million, they want 10 million. That's human nature. But you're always going to come into limitations. And you're never going to be able to make as much as you really want. And you're never going to get the satisfaction that you want. And when you achieve your goal, your great goal of having a certain amount of money, or of having made a great sexual conquest, or of having eaten a certain type of food, when you achieve that great goal, you find that it wasn't so great after all. Once you've achieved it, you know, okay, people, I want to live in that house so badly. I want to live in the McMansions. We call them McMansions, right? The fancy houses that certain people want to live in. They dream of living in a big mansion. They live in the mansion. Once they get into the mansion, are they really happy? After a year, it's no big deal, and they're still, and then they actually feel down because they've tried so hard, and here they are, and it didn't really give them the satisfaction they thought it would. Buying a new car, oh, I've got to have that car, and they dream of having that car, and they, And then when they get the car, after about a year, are they really still very happy with it? They got used to it and it's no big deal anymore. Women with jewelry and women with clothes that they want to have, you know, after a while they want different clothes and different things. So this is a world of limitations. And in a world of limitations, we, though, are unlimited. Our drive for happiness and satisfaction and accomplishment and achievement is unlimited. God gave us this. This is part of our soul that we got from God. God gave us this characteristic of His. He put inside our soul. This is one of the ways where it says that God says that He makes us in His image. It says in Sefer Bereshit in the book of Genesis that God made man in His image. And He did. And that's one of the ways that man is in God's image, because man has unlimited desires. For instance, my mother, people say to me, "Oh, your mother was almost 88 years old. She lived, you know." Listen, what do you expect? And no. I want my mother, my beautiful mother, a beautiful soul like that. I want her to live forever. I always wanted her to live forever. If she lived 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, it wouldn't be enough for me. Forever. And someday, good people will live forever. We believe that. But this is the desire. This is the desire of human beings. And in the next world, where there are opportunities for unlimited spiritual heights and advancement that we don't even understand, where there are opportunities for this, in the next world, that's where we can have true, complete happiness and true, complete peace of mind. So, and by the way, what is the greatest good in the world? God wants to give us good. The greatest good in the world is God Himself. And so in the next world, there'll be this, the number one desire of people will be to get as close to God as possible. Something, again, that people in this world have a hard time understanding. But in the next world, are the desire to get close to God and do what and fulfill God's will, that'll be the number one drive and the number one desire. And also to have our loved ones do that, because we want what's best for our loved ones. So, complete happiness in the next world is possible. In this world, complete happiness isn't possible, but we can achieve certain levels of happiness. You know when you're happy? When you're achieving something, when you're accomplishing something good, then you're happy. If you're accomplishing something bad, or doing something stupid or bad or self-destructive, that will never bring you happiness. Never. Never. Only make you miserable in the end. Someone who's an alcoholic and who rarely got drunk yesterday, today that doesn't help him. He's dry. He wants a drink again. Someone who's addicted to gambling. Oh, they won. They bet on the right horse, or they bet, or they were playing blackjack in Vegas, and they won. The excitement of yesterday, that won't help them today. They want that excitement again today. They'll never get over that excitement. They're going to lose the money. They're going to lose whatever they made, because they're going to go back and they're going to gamble again. And in the end, by the way, all gamblers are losers. All gamblers in the end are losers, because the game is rigged. The game is rigged against you. If you're a gambler, you're a damn fool. You're going to lose. And I was locked up in prison with the heads of mafia families who owned the casinos. And they always said to people, because young guys would come up to them in the prison and say, well, that's the secret. How do you bet on horses? They would say, you're going to lose. You can't win if you're gambling. Gamblers do not win. You're going to lose in the end. But if you gambled yesterday and you were playing blackjack, or you were playing something, your poker or blackjack or some, or if you bet on a horse, or you bet on a sports team and you won, the excitement of that from yesterday is not going to take you anywhere today. You've got to do that again today. You've got to keep doing it, and it's got to go higher and higher, and there's no end to it. That's part of the addiction. And the same, and it will never satisfy you. But if you do something good, if you do something to help somebody, if you help somebody, if you save somebody's life, or if you help somebody, really help them, and you're a good person and that's important to you to help people, then what you did yesterday or last year or 20 years ago will still give you satisfaction. You'll still feel good over that. You'll be proud of what you did. You'll be happy of what you did if you helped somebody even a long time ago. If you made this a better world, if you did something to make this a better world, even if you did it many years ago, that will bring you that happiness lasts. It's not like the happiness of someone who's addicted to food and ate a big meal. Oh, I love that. Or someone who likes steaks, or someone who likes, I don't know what people, whatever, or chocolate, or the other very unhealthy things that people eat. If you had your favorite food and really, really was, you were really fressing is Yiddish, by the way, you were really, really eating and enjoying yourself, and really ate till you were full, until you wanted to, really, really full. Yesterday. Today, that's not going to help you. You got to have it again. What you did yesterday, it doesn't make you happy today. But if you helped somebody yesterday, and you did good yesterday, and you made this a better world yesterday, what you did yesterday will make you happy today. And it will, and if you're really a good person, it will make you happy forever if you do really good things. So that's the way, that's the world that God has given us. Five different worlds, according to some of the commentators, some of the parshanim, some of the commentators in Chazal. Five different worlds. And again, the way things are set up are to give us reward and to give us to do good for us, because that's really why God created the world. He wants to do good for us, but he wants us to earn it, because he's also a God of truth and justice and righteousness. And so if we pass through this world, this prozdor means prozdor, it's like a hallway. If we pass through because that's what the world is, it's like a prozdor, it's a hallway to the traklin. The traklin is the nice, comfortable room where you sit on the couch and you're really, you're happy and you've walked through the hallway and now you've gotten to your destination and now you're nice and happy. If you get through the prozdor, which is this world, and get to the traklin, those are not Hebrew words, by the way. This is Aramaic. But if you get to the traklin, although those words are used because we have Aramaic, because the Babylonian Talmud is mostly Aramaic. But the Jerusalem Talmud is Hebrew and the Babylonian Talmud is Aramaic. There are two Talmuds. But anyway, you get there. Once you get to your destination and you have eternal happiness and eternal life and people you loved and cared about are with you, oh, that's true happiness. I can't even imagine what a beautiful world it would be living in eternity with people like Rabbi Kahana and my mother and my father and my grandmother and all the beautiful people that I've seen pass away, living with them for eternity. That's happiness that for me at least, I could never even describe what type of happiness that would bring me. In any event, I hope that I don't know if these programs, if people like these programs or don't like these programs. I know that when I do programs on Judaism, on topics involving Judaism, they usually get fewer views than when I do programs, which is pathetic, but you would think that they get a lot of views because people should be concerned about their eternity. But they usually get fewer views than programs I do on events. But whatever. I hope that if you like these types of programs, I will, as much as possible, do programs on Judaism and discussing Judaism. I would love to do biblical. I would love to go through the book of Sefer Shoftim, the book of Judges, and Sefer Shmuel, the book of Samuel, and Sefer Melachim, the book of Kings, and the prophets, Yeshayahu, Isaiah, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, Yechezkel, Ezekiel, just all the great prophets and all the books that, the things that most Jews are unfamiliar with, even a lot of religious Jews, even a lot of yeshiva Jews, because in the yeshiva world they don't even go through this. Most Jews don't really, really study these things. If I could do those programs, I would love to do those programs on that. But you know, every time I do those programs, we have half as many views as we have when we do the other programs. So what can I say? Maybe I should do it anyway, because quality is more important than quality. One thing you should always remember, though, everything you do in this world is recorded. And everything, all the good you do will be in your favor. All the bad you do will be against you. It does count. It counts. Every single thing counts, and someone is watching you every step of the way. The creator of the universe is watching you. So let's do good. And let's remember that if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world and change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.